This is Yitzhak Saftless. Coming up next on Mind Your Business, we have Michael Bakirian, CEO of Minds, on the show about building brand loyalty and customer experience and landing staff to build your dream team. Plus, we'll talk about my new book, So What's the Bottom Line? 76 Proven Tips and Techniques for Building Your Business and Personal Brand. All coming up right now on Mind Your Business.
If you run a business large or small, get ready to take a lot of notes, because it's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saftless.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftless right here on 77 WABC in the New York, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. This show is all about real ideas, real business ideas, real people, real success stories on the legendary 77 WABC. This show is all about sharing business ideas and strategies to get you ahead in today's business world. As our listeners know, each week we have a very high-profile guest and ask them the questions that are in your mind that have to do with anything and everything in the business world. In case you missed some of our previous shows, they're all available on our iTunes store. You can go to iTunes, type in Yitzhak Saftless, Yitzchok, Saftlas, and you can access, I mean, we had Matt Britton, the CEO of MRY and the author of the book Youth Nation. We had Captain Sully Sullenberger, the famous pilot that landed in the Hudson. Stephen Aldridge, Senior Vice President at GoDaddy. We had Bill O'Reilly and Jessica Proud from the November team. Josh Moore, General Manager at Uber. Jeffrey Hazlett. Actually, we have to give a shout out to Jeffrey Hazlett, because my guest, who you'll hear about in a moment, we met at the C-Suite networking event, C-Suite conference in San Francisco a couple of weeks back. So a special shout out to Jeffrey. He was on our show. And we had so many others. We had the former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue on our show, and so many others, David Yale from Just Born. There's so much knowledge that you can get by listening to the iTunes channel, and it's all available for free on the iTunes store. You can go by going to typing in Yitzhak Saftless on iTunes, and you'll be able to access it all. Also, later on in the show, we will talk about my new book. I'll be on with Pesach, the producer of the show, and we'll talk about my new book that is actually just came out on Thursday the 10th. So What's the Bottom Line? Published by Morgan James Publishing. It's available in Barnes & Noble, Amazon, bookstores nationwide. Well, let's get to tonight's guest. With us live in studio, we have none other than Michael Bakirian, CEO of Minds. What is Minds? Well, let me talk first about Michael. As CEO of Minds, Michael brings decades of retail leadership, customer experience expertise, and a limitless vision to a growing team of customer experience advocates. Before this, Michael served as CEO of Sapien, an international HR software company. So he's got a lot of HR experience. He also served as the director of operations for Gateway Group One, where he transformed the customer interaction at major metropolitan airports. More on that in a bit. This past month, Michael presented, as I mentioned before, at the C-Suite Network Conference in San Francisco, where he spoke on the new world of recruitment as services and how it can change your management success. Therefore, we encourage our listeners to stay tuned for tonight's program, where you're guaranteed to walk away with real takeaways on how to attract, retain, train, reward, and grow your team. Beyond, so that you can satisfy your customers' wildest imagination. With that intro, we give a warm welcome to Michael Bakirian. Michael, how are you?
I am great, Yitzhak. Thank you for having me.
Yes, no, this is a real treat and a pleasure. And I want to remind the listeners, stay tuned for the remainder of the show. You're going to learn quite a bit about yourself, how to make sure that you land your dream job, and of course, to the companies to make sure that they land the dream candidates. Well, Michael, CEO of Minds, you lead a unique group that offers recruitment as a service. Could you explain, what does that mean, recruitment as a service?
Yeah, I sure can. First, congratulations on the book.
Thank you.
It looks terrific. I cannot wait to read it.
Don't worry, you're getting your autographed copy.
Well, I'm going to check the mail every day. Congratulations. That's a wonderful accomplishment.
Thank you.
So recruitment as a service. So, well, you know, our business started out kind of in the realm of traditional recruiting since about 2012. And we recognized that it was a kind of a deeply inefficient model. Post out to the job boards, get thousands of resumes, pick the best off of the skill set that you see off the resume, and then you would throw them over the transom to your client and, you know, hope a few of them stick. And we worked in that regard for a few years, and going back about 3 months ago, it's a relatively new service that we've launched. We believe this to be a purely disruptive service to the recruiting world.
We love having those on our airwaves here.
Well, the people love us, and maybe some recruiters may learn from us. But what we have done is we have taken the traditional sense of recruiting, and we have kind of turned it. We stood sideways and turned it on its head. We work with clients and companies at all levels within the organization. So if you think about recruitment, you're typically looking at recruiters at the top 20% of the employee base in the organization. And the folks that really make a difference in the company, the folks that touch the customer over and over again, the frontline service providers, the folks in mid-level management who set the tone for the organization, those folks, they're kind of hired into the organization through a myriad of different means.
Sure.
And what we've done is we've stood up a suite of technology and services that serves every level within the organization. So if you're the front desk receptionist, you will go through the same process, go through the same level of assessments, same interview process as you would if you were the, let's say, director of sales.
Okay.
So what it does is to the business community that we serve, which is in the sub 100 million, if you're in the 50 to 500 person employee range, or what we like to say on the hockey stick, growing, you know, you're kind of pre-shaft, but or you're shooting up it and you're trying to figure out, oh, we have a need for 25, 30, 40 people, we're growing like crazy. What do I do? Do I just hire a recruiter or do I build out a recruiting team internally? What we have done here is we've built out, take advantage of both. You do not have to build out, you get the efficiency of not needing to build out an internal team, but you take advantage of our internal team and our technology and our services. And it's about $500,000 a year. We're talking to some folks this morning to duplicate what we've done. It's around 500,000. That's folks, technology. So you look at an organization in that range, and say the $5 million, $10 million, $15 million range. If you're running a 10% EBITDA, you have to make a decision.
Yeah.
So what do I do? Do I take my next $5 million worth of sales and put it towards a recruiting team to hire the best talent? Or you can come to us, and that's where we really serve a niche in that marketplace. We serve the unserved at this point in time.
Very interesting. Very interesting. And we're going to cover it from many different angles. And, of course, our listeners is a wide swath of entrepreneurs, sole proprietors, to, you know, owners of small companies, to medium-sized, to some large companies. So, you know, definitely we have a mix here, and we want to tap into your tremendous experience and your knowledge so that there's great takeaways for really everyone in the audience. Mainz has a four-pillar approach. In my research, I noticed this, in finding the perfect employee. And I mean, can you elaborate on that? That sounds so fascinating. I mean, what's the secret sauce here?
It is. Well, so you look at, you know, we kind of fashion ourselves from not in the realm of just a recruiting agency. We are a talent acquisition group. But we take the position that if you're going to be truly distinctive as a business in your industry, there's a holistic approach in order to do so. The first is hiring in the top talent. And when I say top talent, not just people who have accomplished things within their career, accomplished goals and sales or what may be based on the job or the position, but accomplished as they move into your organization that are culturally aligned and are a cultural match to your organization. We'll talk a little bit more about that when I get into more detail. But that's the first step. So if you don't have great employees, and great employees are those employees that align with your vision, with your values, with your organization's approach to the marketplace, then the organization is going to stutter, not going to move forward. So we're going to hire and we're going to find the best talent that's culturally aligned to your organization. And the next step is, well, what happens when you get those folks? How do you retain them? You want to retain them. So we want to talk about reward and recognition. We have programs that are reward and recognition based, and that is things that are outside of compensation. You know, providing a paycheck on a weekly basis, that's like a minimum. It's expected. the best we could do is, you know, pay them 100% of what they're owed. Right. There's nothing outside of it. So the employee gets used to that. Even when the employee receives a raise, at the end of the day, that raise is assimilated very quickly into their budget, and they're looking for what's the next thing. When we look statistically speaking, monetary compensation falls on the top 10 list. It kind of falls farther down the chain. It's really more like recognition and a person feeding the person's acknowledgement of a job well done and their contribution to the organization. We all spend more time at the job than we do at home with our families.
Right.
So it's really, we have to look at it that people are giving their blood, sweat, and tears, literally, to our companies, and therefore we need to look at how to compensate them outside of normal compensation. So that's one of our pillars. We have a reward and recognition programs. We also serve the industry through talent. Talent training and development.
Okay.
So the training and development, we take an approach, is a very custom approach. You can train about 40% of a person's job skills, but to make them truly successful, they need to be trained to your organization's culture.
Right.
Because your culture may be, you may be highly collaborative, and somebody may not work well in a highly collaborative. Maybe they need a more centralized versus a decentralized footprint from an organization's perspective. Very, very important in understanding the culture of the organization so that when you're finding and sourcing the best talent, mm-hmm. you're bringing folks in that will be successful within that cultural environment. So we train the folks once they're on board. We train to your culture based on, and we customize our trainings depending on what it is that you're looking to train. We do everything from frontline customer service training to sales training, and you can kind of get executive, do some executive training and coaching as well. And the last piece, which is very exciting, is that we, this is actually a 2016 launch. We are developing a line of business analytics tools that will plug into our entire system, our ecosystem, and it will measure the employee experience and the customer experience, because at the end, we're looking to build a brand loyalist. We want our right. customers to come back, right?
Right?
We don't want them to buy one burger. We want them to come right. back and buy three burgers, but right. bring three friends.
Right.
So in order to do that, we need to run through the whole matrix, and what we are doing with our platform is we're measuring the customer experience, the employee experience, and we're pumping that through a financial experience of the business. So for the smaller business, we all have different ideas of what success may look like for our organization. So we work with the top five KPIs that you deem successful, as an example.
And again, KPI, key performance indicators.
Mm-hmm. So as an example, you may say, well, if I have my top line revenue growth at 20% or above, I don't want to see more than 20% attrition from my top 10% of my salespeople. I would like my revenue per employee per year to be $250,000 or above, and whatever other indicators that you may deem are the success indicators for your business.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we pump all that information through our dashboard, and we return a very simple, looks like a gas gauge. And it says green, yellow, red. Where are you tracking with your business? You look at it retrospectively. Where have you been? Is your trend going up in the right places or going down? Or we also look at it prospectively moving forward. Well, if you're tracking this way, historically, where are you going to be in the next 3 months, 6 months? We're also working on an exit meter, which is kind of neat too. So if you're a business that is looking to ultimately exit, we can put through your requirements, i.e. what's your valuation number, your multiples, whether it's a top line or EBITDA play, whatever it might be. We put those in there and we kind of track towards it, where our algorithm will develop around the numbers that are internal and let you know if you're tracking towards your exit in real time. So we look at it this way. You know, if you run your business, and we've all run businesses off a P&L or a balance sheet, it's like stale data. It's old. By the time you look at it, it was, I'm looking at last quarter. And it's like, well, what happened in the last quarter? But this quarter looks good. Well, that's because, you know, you had one client have a massive purchase that was a one-time purchase, but you lost three of your other clients that were your top one, two, three, or top three, four, or five clients. So unless you're looking and tracking that in real time, you can't possibly know if the business is actually performing. So our approach is these four pillars that are all distinct, but they're all holistic, integrated, and it all starts going back to hiring the right person mm-hmm. who is motivated beyond that of simple compensation.
Right.
And to understand that through our systems, we talk about a recruitment as a service product, to understand how do we get below the surface? How do we get below the skin to understand that employee at a level beyond that of what they're presenting to you as the truth on their resume?
Wow. We're speaking with Michael Bakarian, CEO of Minds. Some fascinating. So that's proprietary technology. I mean, that's Minds' technology, correct?
It is a combination of industry best of breed and our own proprietary Amazing. Processes around it. Yeah,
amazing. If I may, I'm going to turn now to the person who's looking to land their dream job, and I have a couple of questions on that. I mean, you know, LinkedIn and all the various websites. What tips do you have for someone who's looking for a job from their resume, maybe some tips on resume and where they should be looking? Now, again, we're going now to the individual that's looking, and then, of course, we'll come back to the company side.
Sure. At our business, we look at the candidate as equal weight to our client. We feel we serve both. The candidate, they may not be a good fit for the job that we've presented them for.
Right, but you know someone else.
Exactly. There could be somebody else who comes
fit,
along.
Right?
For sure.
Great point.
So we look at a candidate from the same process. Mm-hmm. We look at it I like to use a lot of analogies, right? So I look at like trying to find a job, it's kind of like dating. Going to go back a long time
Great
ago
analogy.
And start thinking about it, right?
Great
maybe, your significant other, your spouse, whom it may be. Think about what it was like when you first met them.
Right.
You know, you put on your best behavior,
right.
And over time, that best behavior may deteriorate a little. I'm not saying that it does in my household.
My wife's listening too.
Well, you're always on your best behavior, so I've heard. And
thank you.
But over time, it happens. In fact, it was funny. Chris Rock, if you remember hearing a bit he did many years ago, he said about his wife. He said after 6 months, he said, "I don't think I was dating you. I was dating your representative." So we have to realize that in the process of job search. Really, what can you do as
right.
as a candidate looking for a job? First, be really clear about what you want to do with your life, just from a life perspective. You know, what do you want to do? What would you do for free and to go and do it every day if money wasn't an option?
Fascinating point.
So we look at that, right? We do a little introspection and say, you know, this is what I really want to do.
Right. Are you going to love it? I mean, are you passionate about it?
Right. When the alarm goes off, do you wake up before your alarm or do you hit the snooze button 3 or 4 times?
Great point.
Right? So we look for those and we try to help our candidates and we coach them on. First of all, I know you're looking for a job as a sales manager, but are you a sales manager? We have assessment tools that we give every one of our candidates based on the job that they're applying for.
Mm-hmm.
It's specific to the job, and it will give us the underlying motivational levels of encouragement, their levels of motivation, their cognitive abilities directly in line with that job. So we can really look at that and say to them, you know what, it looks like you really are wired
mm-hmm.
for the job that you think that is going to make you happy for the rest of your life. So the first step in looking for a job, don't jump on the computer and really quickly start doing a search or a job search and going on, you know, Indeed or LinkedIn or whatever any of the big job boards are, Career Builder, Monster. Don't just start looking for what's out there and don't just look at salary because salary is always negotiable. Based on what you bring to the table, salary is a question mark. It doesn't have to be what's written on the page.
Hmm.
So once you kind of determine where you want to go in your life and what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
Then you start to build your persona. Make sure your LinkedIn is up to date. Make sure you have more than 500 contacts in LinkedIn because it will say 500 plus. If it says 120 and you're applying for the sales manager job, people are going to look
That's
at that
so
and
weak.
Go, nope, it's kind of weak. So make sure that your public persona is in line. If you have pictures of yourself doing unconventional things on your Facebook page, take them down. Make sure that wherever you look, when we do a complete search, we look at Facebook, we look at everything of the person out there that can touch, potentially enhance or damage our client's reputation. It's very important to us to uphold our client's reputation through the folks that we refer in.
And today, that's such an issue with everything being available in a touch of a click. I mean,
yeah, in real time.
Click of a button.
We know everything. What happens with it? We have a negative event happen, and we know what happens within 3 hours. We know everything about that person, including the last place they ate. Somehow.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that your persona out there, what you're presenting to the world, is spot on,
mm-hmm.
and is in line with the job you're going after. Be sure to follow organizations and people that are influencers on your LinkedIn page.
Okay.
To make sure that you're following those folks that are going to give you tips and connections into the world that you're looking to ultimately park your career in.
Okay.
Once that's done and everything's filled out, then you got to go, well, do I do a resume or do I do a CV? Well, the world's moving a little more towards CV than it is to resume. If you go onto Word and use a resume template, please don't be creative. Find a way outside of two lines across the top. Do things that are going to get you noticed. A recruiter will look at your resume for about 15 seconds until they see something that catches their eye. Under our process with Minds, we actually utilize an electronic methodology for sorting through those resumes based on specific keywords and job attributes in order to make sure that the person has those. So you want to use words that are very distinct to not only from the task completed, but also the emotion behind the task. Make sure that you're putting things out there that if you're working within a luxury brand, that you make sure you put luxury in there in as a description, not just the name, just as
should a person, I mean, this is fascinating, and this is, again, our listeners are so appreciative to you, Michael, because you're sharing real tips, advice. If they have a particular passion for the industry that they're looking to get into or that they're in presently, should that come through on the resume?
Oh, without a doubt. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for passion because we're going to get to, you know, a point once you determine that the person is a skill match. They have the experience and the skill and the prerequisite educational requirement and whatever the hard attributes of the job are. The other 80% is just that. It's passion. It's about holding a passion for the job and about the contribution that you bring to your new or future employer.
Now, I mean, this is just so fascinating. And before we go to a break, a question. Your software, your algorithm, et cetera, could pick up on these things? I mean, this is just fascinating.
Yeah, it's great stuff. I'll give an example. I'm going to expose myself here. We were hiring in for a receptionist for a very large Wall Street trading firm.
Okay.
And I said, I'm just out of curiosity, I'm going to take the receptionist test.
Okay.
See if I'm really
How you would rate
a receptionist. I can do that. And I took it, and our manager of technology, Jacqueline, came in and handed to me, and she looked at me and smiled, and she goes, "You failed." I said, "What?" I checked my ego for a moment, and sure enough, it was like it figured me out that was not who I was. I could not sit behind a desk for 8 hours a day and sit there and work, you know, the phones and greet folks as they came in. It figured me out. So we figure out all of our candidates before. We know more about them than they may know about themselves after they go through our process. And if I can speak real quickly about our process.
Sure.
So once we get the resume in from, you know, we post all the job boards. We have about a 20 million candidate reach per month, folks looking for jobs within our network. Once they come through in their resume, we sort through the resume and we figure out the folks that actually are direct attribute matches for the skill set for the job.
Okay.
Those folks are then called down and we send them a pre-employment assessment. The assessment is specifically designed around the job family or the job for the person that they're applying to.
Okay.
So if it's a technology job as a developer, the test will look very different. The report will look very different than somebody who's a salesperson, because we're looking to pick up on different things. And we're looking to measure a person's level of motivation, their level of openness, their ability to handle change. Two indicators which are very critical and our clients love are their longevity factor. This is like we go through a lot of work to hire folks as business owners. And at the end of the day, you know, if somebody stays for 3 months or 4 months.
Nah, it's a bummer.
Yeah, right.
And it's not just a bummer. It's a big waste of money.
It's a waste of money and the time and everything. I mean, you figure you're putting in 25, 30 hours candidate throughout your organization. If you have to interview 10 or 15 candidates, you're talking about taking somebody away from the job of making the business money and satisfying its employees, away from that to hire a new person in that last 3 months because we missed something.
And then the interaction with the clients, it's bad.
It does. It gets to really be a very costly mistake. Yeah. So we look for longevity. We provide longevity factors for the person's their propensity for staying on the job. Their level of motivation, like I stated before, their cognitive abilities. We do a simple cognitive test to make sure that they can put together a string of numbers if they're in a position that that's important, important to them.
Right.
And then we look at their personality. Those are things like their level of their openness in, to be managed, their ability to handle change. And we look at all these things. Now, remember, we haven't seen this person yet. We've only received their resume.
Amazing.
And we've sent them a test. We may have spoken to them on the phone for a few minutes to inform them of the process.
Mm-hmm.
After that, and if the person passes and performs within, we try to go 95th percentile and above. They then get launched into our video interviewing platform. Once there, they are they participate in a video interview. We can customize that video interview to have our client sit there and actually record the video and ask the questions, or we could flash the questions up on the screen. And they go through the video interview process. Once that's completed, we run another test on them. This is where it gets fascinating. We run a test on their predictive analytics model for their level of motivation, engagement, distress. It measures all of these items in the physical presence now. So now we take their mental presence within the pre-employment assessment. We take the physicality, the physical presence of them in the video interview, and we're able to then determine completely holistically, is this person a good match for the job that we're applying for? Which is very different than a lot of tests which go just simple motivation.
Right.
Oh, Mike is a good personable guy and he likes to work with people. Well, that's nice. You know, everybody likes that.
Right.
But we need to go deeper under the covers. This is why we've implemented these deep processes. And again, to our earlier conversation, we do this with everyone from the entry-level person all the way up until the door of the C-suite. Yeah,
wow.
Everyone gets the same process. And the last step here, which is really fascinating once again, is that over time, mm-hmm. we can develop the personality profile of your highest performers. Now, this is important for organizations because these are people that are proven to work and be successful within your organization and your culture. So in them being successful in your culture, we then can look for people under the same exact personality and motivation model. So we are going to reduce the overtime. We're going to reduce your turnover rate. We're going to reduce the cost for talent acquisition. You're going to have longer staying, happier employees who embrace your vision, who embrace your company's mission and your values. And they go out into the world and they thrill your customers. Because at the end of the day, we're talking about thrilling our customers so that
the money follows.
The money follows. And a customer who is thrilled is going to tell everyone about it and they're going to bring people in and they're going to spend more. So our entire platform is really about generating more money for our clients at the end of the
day. Before we go to a break, this is just such great material. What are the numbers, the percentages between companies that just kind of hire by the seat of their pants and companies that come and leverage the services of a Mainz?
Well, there's a couple of different ways of looking at this,
okay.
right? So you're looking at typical attrition rates in, let's use an example of like retail, hospitality.
Sure.
Large volumes of folks,
mm-hmm.
they have the ability to crash your business. One single person, if you remember some things with Chick-fil-A, one person behind the counter makes the silly idea, happened to actually do a good thing, and a lot of people rally to their cause.
Right.
Some other businesses, the people left and fled and decided not to, by the actions of one person. So there's a lot of turnover within that organization, within that side. So you're looking at organizations in retail. Turnover rates are anywhere between 25 to 60%. There are some industries where they're at 100% a year. You're turning your industry, your staff over 100% of the time. Those are the folks, if you look at them historically, they fill the shift. So the number one question is, I've got a 4 to 12 shift open on Saturday. Can you work it? Great, you start Friday. So we want to get away from that type of hiring, which is about, what's the job availability?
Right.
That's where we fall into. So you're looking at those numbers. Utilizing our tools, we've seen the rates drop from 70% attrition to 30% attrition rates.
Wow.
Utilizing technology such as the pre-employment assessment tools and video technology that we utilize, those are the numbers. You're talking about significant savings. So if you have a cost of acquisition between uniforms or whatever it may be of a few thousand dollars and you're turning over 20% of your staff or 40% of your staff, the numbers are in the seven-figure range.
Wow. We're speaking with Michael Bakarian, the CEO of Mainz, right here on Mind Your Business with Yisroel Saftlis on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break and back with Michael in a moment.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your services and programs. It has to deliver just the right message, the right way, to make customers excited about what you offer and interested in working with you. Online, you have to be on the money to make the money. So go with the best. Website with Brains. Their experienced team will plan, write, design, and program a winning website that combines simplicity and flexibility with powerful features that will make you the king of content marketers. And they make it so easy. All of their websites are made with an easy, user-friendly interface. Website with Brains will have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Take control of your online marketing today. Call Website with Brains for a free consultation and see how they can improve your online presence. 1-800-WEB-9018. That's 1-800-WEB-9018. Or visit them online at websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back on 77 WABC, the Mind Your Business program here with Yisroel Saftlis. Thank you so much for joining me on this Sunday evening. Again, a little later in the program, we're going to talk about my new book, So What's the Bottom Line? 76 Proven Marketing Tips and Techniques for Building Your Business and Personal Brand. But now we're going to go back to our very special guest, Michael Bakarian of Mainz. Again, what's the tagline of the company? How would you say the tagline of the company? In short, what does your company do?
Well, we like to say we hire smart at every level. And that's the way we look at it, is like bringing insight to levels of employees that traditionally most employers would never get a chance to see.
Amazing.
So making smart decisions, intelligent hiring decisions at all levels of your organization.
Amazing. Now, Michael, what are the benefits of skill versus culturally based talent?
Yeah, that's great. Well, so, you know, when you're looking at skills, you know, looking at skill set, that's how we typically hired in the past.
Right.
Now we're with millennials coming in, we're dealing with a lot of emotion. We're dealing with organizations and levels of employee that are motivated beyond that of simple, you know, hey, pat on the back, job well done. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that we're paying very close attention to the personality traits of the individual, equal to or in greater than the skill set. So as an example, use an analogy, quick one. Mm-hmm. If you're hiring somebody who's a waitress for an organization. Mm-hmm. So we can almost train 80-90% of the people to carry a tray. But can we train them to carry a tray, meaningfully smile, and truly want to help and serve the folks within your restaurant?
Right.
That's what you're trying to find. You're trying to hire the person who really wants to serve another person. And then we'll figure out the other part. We'll train them for the other part, how to actually do the job.
So, right. So there's skill, there's sensitivity, there's care, there's passion, there's so many factors to landing that dream employee. And your whole approach takes everything into account.
That's correct. Yes, we actually go through our assessment tools. We actually identify a lot of the levels of passion below that of the resume.
Hmm. Now, once you've identified the type of team member you're looking for, how can a company attract them to join that particular company?
Well, through our organization, you know, that's our job. We kind of do that for you. That's where we do the heavy lifting, so to speak. So once we develop together collectively, what does the right person look like?
Mm-hmm.
We talk to both skill set as well as passion.
Yes.
We go out into the marketplace and we find and source those folks. It's almost like, I don't want to say a black box because we give visibility into it.
Okay.
But you end up with basically three highly, highly well-qualified candidates for each position. And you'll have a hard time deciding which one to hire at that point. So, you know, we take that part of the job and we do it for you.
Wow. Now, when a company, you know, does it on their own, they aggressively go out there and search. They could be going through, 200-300 resumes?
Sure. Yeah, 200-300. You can have thousands depending on the job title and what you're looking for. So some advice for organizations that are a do-it-yourselfer type of model is really develop a line of questioning beyond that of simply, well, tell me what you did in your last job. You know, they'll never tell you the truth. Well, I took extra long lunches. I was late most of my time.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I took a lot of vacation days when I wasn't supposed to. I mean, no one says that out there. It's, you know, it's the truth, unfortunately. But you know, they're gonna paint themselves in the most favorable light. Right. It happens to us. We hire people, and 3 months later, like, who was that person? I don't know who they are. The resume is nothing but it's a PR piece at the end of the day. So develop meaningful questions. Really seek and source to understand who the person is sitting in front of you. And try to understand them at a level beyond that of what they did in their life from a job perspective. I always like to ask simple questions like, you know, tell me about the last book that you read, or tell me about who are your personal heroes in life. You can kind of get under the covers a little bit to understand who the folks hold of value to their life.
You also catch them off guard a little bit.
You
so
do.
Like they're giving you straight answers.
And they hesitate. Yeah. And they're like, but don't you want to know what I did in my last shot? No, because you're going to tell me you did great.
Right.
You're not going to tell me exactly really what happened. So find a way to chat with folks and talk with folks and keep it very conversational and catch them off guard and see how they respond.
Well, do you encourage, I'm going to say it like this, confrontational approach? Or
I was never a confrontational kind of guy. I don't encourage confrontation. Maybe if you're going for a job where that employee is going to see a lot of confrontation, you may want to see how they handle confrontation, maybe a part of the process. But getting a person into the defensive mode is not typically a way to see the best of that person.
Right.
And we're looking for the best in a
right.
person.
That's true. Now, this is a little bit touching on something we talked about earlier in the program. How do you use technology and analytics to pre-screen a job candidate?
Yeah, so that's really the basis for much of what we do, right? So we really take advantage of all the tools in the world today, as well as some of our own. We piece them together to really understand it. And the only way to understand a person below the skin is to apply some kind of psychological testing modality for that person. And you want to understand the things that are important to your business. Maybe the degree of openness and their ability to be coached are very important in your business. So we can design our test if it does not weigh that far enough in that direction. We actually will match up an organizational psychologist with our client, and we will redesign the test in order to derive a higher level of weighted percentage to the things that are most important to your business.
Fascinating. So that means if let's say you identify the dream candidate for a particular company, but the requirements are going to require a bit of coaching, but this individual doesn't take well to coaching, you'll put the pieces in place to make that happen?
We'll put the pieces in place to measure that, if that's really important to the client, to the company.
Right. So you mean because if it's going to be a stumbling block to the job, then you might tell the company, well, the guy may have been a hit in your eyes, but 3 months from now, you'll be upset at me.
Yeah. You make a great point, because it's like, what is great? You know, at the end of the day, it's like, well, how do you say that person's a great employee? You know, Bob in accounting likes them because they're in working on time every day. They're the best. But they don't do anything. They don't produce anything. But they're there early and they're on time. So we all have different ideas of what great is within an organization. And it's up to leadership. It's up to the executive team to truly define what great is in alignment with their values and their mission and the goal of the organization and how they intend to be perceived by their customer base. That is the barometer of great. It's from the customer's eyes. It's not from
Good
the internal eyes.
Very, very, very excellent point. Yeah, it's there's so much more than just impressing a boss per se. I mean, not just so much more. That's okay. That's very important. We understand that. You got to make that work. But at the end of the day, will customers love interacting with this individual? Will the company grow as a result if it doesn't meet that threshold? We're playing make believe.
We are, and the whole ultimate goal is to grow the enterprise to in order to support the employees and to support its mission of serving its customers as well as its employees. The most important person within the organization is the employee, because without a well developed and motivated and coached and mentored and rewarded employee, that if you don't have that in your organization, you'll never serve your customers.
That's right.
So that's where we look at it from that perspective. Find the right employee, and the customers will stay and bring more.
Now I want to address the next question, which from the vantage point of the experience that Mainz has worked with some major companies, Prada, Share Medical Solutions, Mercedes-Benz. Michael, what are some of the takeaways of servicing and working with such large entities?
Yeah, so great stuff. Well, we welcome Share Medical. It's one of our new clients who came on board. They adopted our recruitment as a service model. They looked at other types of ways of attracting their sales reps.
And how many people were they, if I can ask you on the air, was it they were looking for 5, 10 people?
No,
or
They're going to source 100 people nationwide.
Wow.
They have 7 products that they sell, and it's a fascinating, fascinating company, and we're proud to be aligned with them. And we're going to source 100 sales reps pretty much in every state going across the union here, across the nation. So, but that is a typical example of the power of using analytics and the power of technology and the power of having the service layer around those that free them up to do what they do best, and that is to train the people and to go out and sell their products to the doctors and facilities, allow the professionals, so to speak, to actually introduce you to the people that are going to take on that mission.
Wow, and the ability to scale at a fast rate. I mean, 100, to take on 100 superstars. I mean, I imagine your goal is to land superstars.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're going to do it in less than 6 months for 100 sales
reps. Wow. From your experience, how would you recommend a business owner create a meaningful experience for both the employees and a company's clients?
It's a great question. It's an elusive question because a lot of companies have different ideas of what they think is going to create a good employee. Mm-hmm. And number one, without a doubt, is communication. The lines of communication within the organization, my door is always open, but for some reason it's always closed. I used to work for a guy like that. My door is always open, but every time I walk by, his door was closed. It's like, okay, guess I have to knock. I'm not sure, but the door is always open. Communication in all levels of the organization. And I work for some amazing bosses who every morning when they came in, they grab their coffee and they walk throughout the whole entire building, seeing and greeting and talking to folks and about their weekend and how their kids are and knew everyone by name. It's that level of engagement, that level, that connectivity, that connectedness within an organization. The employee is more likely to forgive if they feel they're connected and contributing. And the contribution has to be measured and has to be spoken to from within the entire company, not just from the senior leadership perspective. People want to feel like the old saying, people, support the world they create.
Sure.
I've believed that for many years, and I've always tried to manage in that realm because it really is, you really want to feel like you're making the biggest contribution to the organization and being recognized for it. People work a lot of hours. They work at night. They work till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Nobody really knows that. They only know you by when you mess up as an organization. So you need an organization that has a level of forgiveness within the organization, a plan for corrective action.
Okay.
That's beyond that of just such significant punitive.
Right.
And to be an organization that is an organization that you would ultimately want to work for.
And now, just again, I want to harp on this question for a minute from the corporate standpoint, from the company. How would you recommend that they create such an experience that no one will ever leave, no client will ever leave that company?
From a client perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the client, this is different from the employee perspective. So let's just say we've created great employees, we've hired the best employees, we reward them in their service and our customers at every level. The first thing you can do is measure your success in the eyes of your customer. That is without a doubt the simplest and easiest method, and that can be done through multitudes of polling techniques or interviews or just at point of sale. Can you answer a quick survey? Get a sampling of your customers to understand what their perception of your business is and understand what they deem a successful experience and what would make them want to come back and bring other people. Don't be afraid to ask that question. We're all so afraid to be like, well, what do I need to do for you to bring your mom back or your brother back? What do I need to do to have that experience?
And you encourage companies, ask it.
Ask it. Don't be afraid. Go out, talk to your customers. Nothing gets done in the office on the second floor. Get down into the trenches, walk around with your employees, shake hands, meet folks, understand your customer at the handshake level, regardless of what type of business, whether you're a B2B or a B2C. It's get out there as an executive, get out there, get in front of your customers, understand what's making them stay. And if you can replicate that within other organizations, you're going to grow your business.
Hmm. Now, Michael, you touched on this earlier. An employee, a star team member, it's beyond the paycheck. But what's, from your world and lifetime of experience, what's the primary reason for rewarding and recognizing team members beyond the paycheck? I know, and again, I'm asking the question beyond the obvious. I'm saying, from your experience, how important is that, and what are some of the great secrets out there in that realm beyond the paycheck?
Well, first, when we talk about an employee, we kind of look at them, what box do we put them in?
Right.
I always like to put them in the box of partner. They hold the same weight as my partner. Why? Because they have the ability to damage my business, right, and as well as promote my business. So I want to treat them with that level of respect. So once we get to that point where we have that understanding, we're respecting our employees, we want to make sure we understand and listen to them. And there's a lot of great ideas. All the ills of an organization can be solved by the folks that work within the organization. Some people are unfortunately victims of bad management. And if we have an opportunity to talk to our employees, we can understand where it's broken within the business. So reward and recognition is a two-phase. One, it's understanding a feedback mechanism from your employees to understand what's actually happening in my business. The other side of it is, and how do I reward employees for outstanding effort beyond that of just what's expected of them from their job description? But it's the recognition of that. That's the most important thing. I worked for a company many years ago where the handshake of the owner meant more to me than the $25 gift card he put in my hand. The fact that he recognized, out of thousands of employees, mm-hmm, the thing I did on Thursday, that to me meant more than the $25 gift card that he gave me. So find meaningful ways within your organization to recognize your employees that are culturally aligned with your business.
Hmm. Now, as we approach the close in the remaining couple of minutes that we have, Michael, how would you create a brand loyalist? Out of a client, a customer, but really turn them into a brand loyalist. They'll never leave your company.
A rah-rah, if somebody comes in, Apple brand loyalist. People will stand in line to get a phone.
That's right. That's a great example.
Right? I mean, that's just an
example.
And it's tough to get there. Everybody uses that example.
Right.
First things first within the organization, hire the right people, put them in the right jobs, understand where they are within your organization at every level, your employees, number one. Okay, that's first step. Mm-hmm. The second step is to have a feedback mechanism as to what delights your customers. What is it about your brand? Is it your product or is it your experience? Pay close attention to the experience, because the product is a commodity that a lot of people can get unless you have some proprietary something. But it is the experience where you begin to differentiate, and the experience can only be delivered through your employees of your organization. So if you want to create a brand loyalist, start with your employees, hire the right people, ultimately listen to your customer, speak to them directly through the experience. And if you have to change your experience outside of your process, a lot of companies are reluctant to change it, because I built that process. It took me a long time, and it's good. Right. It's a good process. Yeah, but we're losing 20% of our customers every week. What's going on? The process is broken. Listen to the customer as to how they respond to your process, and you will create a brand loyalist out of your customers. Last step, if you want them to be loyal, ask them to be loyal. Provide a mechanism for them for feedback, and a mechanism for them to bring their friends and family and be rewarded for such an action.
Yeah, it's interesting. Last week on the program, we had Jim Malcolm. He is the president of Ricoh North America, Fortune 500 company. He's sitting right there in the chair you're sitting in.
Wow.
And he was talking about brand loyalty, and one of their brands is Pentax. He was talking about Pentaxians. And also, like you said, he kept on focusing on the experience. Of course, the camera and the body and the shape and the technology have to all be perfect. We get that. But the experience, sell the experience. He was talking about the experience, just like you said. Yeah. Michael, how could someone get in touch with you, with Mainz? How did they get in touch with you?
Well, they can come to our website or at MainzSolutions.com.
Can you spell that?
M-A-I-N-Z Solutions.com.
Okay.
It's pronounced Mainz.
Okay.
Solutions.com. Or they can give us a call, 347-325-9433.
Can you repeat that, please?
347-325-9433. Just give us a buzz, and we'd be happy to chat with you. We've got a mechanism on our website as well for us to get in touch with you.
Amazing.
And we'd love to talk with you.
Any final thoughts for the listeners of Mind Your Business?
Thanks a lot for having us on. We are honored to be a part of your show and
the history of
this show. You've got a wonderful mechanism for helping small businesses get beyond that of their own ideas and actually monetize those ideas and put them into action. Biggest thing for us from our perspective is, like you say, just do it. You know, if you're having a good idea, go out there, talk to folks, put a little barometer check. Don't delay. Just get it done. Go out there, hire the experts, bring in experts, bounce your ideas off of folks, and just go out and do it. Hire the right people, and the business will follow.
Amazing. Well, that was the voice of Michael Bakirian, CEO of Mainz, for sharing some incredible perspective and advice right here on Mind Your Business program. Michael, best of luck.
Isaac, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, that was a great interview with Michael, and we're really excited about the latest segment we've started. As many of you have probably heard about the new book that Yitzhak wrote called So What's the Bottom Line, published by Morgan James Publisher, a great 260-page book on marketing, which includes 76 proven marketing tips and techniques for building your business and personal brand. So What's the Bottom Line is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and pretty much at any local bookstore. So we're really excited to be able to talk with Yitzhak every week about some part of the book. And we are also now offering a free chapter. So you get a real sneak peek, and it's a great chapter. It's the 11 proven marketing
words
that everyone can use, every business. This book is really for business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, people that are just trying to get ahead in the business world. It really has something, if not a lot, for everyone somehow related to business. Even we've heard feedback from people that are not in business that are just using it to help build their personal brand, help them get ahead with people, with relationships, whatever it may be. So it's really been a great, great book, and we're really excited to be able to talk to Yitzhak. As Michael kind of touched on, and we really, you know, I was skimming through the book, there's one chapter, Yitzhak, that I would love to talk to you about today, which is called Customer Retention Tips and Techniques. Does customer retention apply to all businesses?
Yeah, you know, customer retention is so critical that actually the book is broken up into 8 different sections. And I have, there's a section on effective communication, a section on out-of-the-box marketing, execution, marketing basics, various different topics. And then I have a separate section called Sustaining Your Business Customer Retention. And in there I see I have 8 separate chapters just on customer retention. Because customer retention is so critical, and we all know, you know, the famous 80-20 rule, right? It's it's 80%, you know, easier, you know, to get a cut to retain an existing customer than it is to get a new customer. And there's various different ways of applying the 80-20 rule. But so many companies take their clients for granted, and that is a terrible mistake. Once you have a client, service them to the nth degree, because it's much easier to constantly maintain a great relationship with an existing client and to service them beyond expectation than it is to land a new customer. And so many people, I mean, it's just a bad habit that people have to just, you know, have this assumption the grass is greener on the other side, and let me just get new customers, and I'll just, you know, my existing customers will just be there for me. No, that's a mistake. For example, if you have we'll take an insurance agent. An insurance agent, usually there's renewals once a year, and it's an insurance agent must, starting already 3 months, I would say even 6 months out, make sure you have some type of ongoing connection with your client. Don't just wait for the premium renewal to then suddenly, I mean, I had one guy that I was once dealing with, obviously no names, that he never reached out. And then, you know, a competitor had reached out, and actually I went with the competitor. And then this guy had the nerve to then call me, say, "Hi, why didn't you call me to renew?" He said, "Well, I kind of never heard from you. I mean, thank God there was no incident and we didn't need to, but just never." She says, "So why didn't you call me?" Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? Show your customers some love. Show them interest. Show them that you care about them. Customer retention is so vital, and that's why I devote 8 chapters. And again, each chapter is 3-4 pages, so it's not a heavy book. But I devote 8 chapters on that subject.
Wow. So as you can see, this is a great book, and there's really a lot to learn. It is available now on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble's, and Barnes & Noble stores as well at your local bookstore. And make sure, if you want to get a sneak peek, to visit the website at SoWhatsTheBottomLine.com. And again, that is SoWhatsTheBottomLine.com, and you can download a free chapter.
Now, it's very interesting. You talk about the free chapter. In there, the 11 power words of marketing. Now, on that subject, this is not just something that was taken that was taken random. These power words are you know, this was based on a lot of research. In fact, this study was done by Yale University. And they had come up with these 11 powers. Now, we would share it on the air, but actually they can get the chapter for free. Again, how do they get the chapter?
SoWhatsTheBottomLine.com, SoWhatsTheBottomLine.com.
And they get the PDF of that.
Download it straight to your computer and you do whatever you like with it. It is 100% free.
And remember, that particular chapter is really but a sampling of the 76 total chapters that there are in the book. And like Pesach said earlier, this is really perfect for entrepreneurs, executives, salespeople, and marketers in the corporate and nonprofit world. So again, it's available. It was officially on the market as of Thursday the 10th. So it's a brand new release. And
get them while they're still hot.
Yes. Well, thank you again for a great show. Thank you to Pesach Tropper and to Srili Saflis taking care of the video here. And, of course, to Chris behind the boards. Thank you very much. Stay tuned for Red Eye and tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.